The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Bob Ryan, Kevin Blackstone, Israel Gutierrez, Woody Page. How about that panel today? Devin Booker last night, just about the greatest half you could have. 31 points and baby tap. But now his injury and news of the day, likely out for games 3 and 4, what that means. And Kyle Lowry, what are you doing, man? Let's go around the horn.
Like a 2010 panel right here.
Love it. Absolutely love it. The OGs for your emojis. By sheer regular season records, Pelicans beating the Suns in Phoenix, one of the biggest upsets in postseason history?
What?
And New Orleans pulled away late. Oh, Bob, you take umbrage with that? We'll talk about that in a second. The Brandon Ingram eruption, 37-11-9. But now, the news of the day, Phoenix has to contend with Devin Booker's hamstring. Woj reporting today, Booker unlikely for games 3 and 4 in New Orleans. Bob Ryan, I'll start with you on Booker's health. Did that just change things for the presumptive favorite Phoenix Suns?
Well, of course it changes things. It changes he's a borderline superstar. He's reached the, you know, near the top of his profession. He's the best player on the team. Mm-hmm. However, they were 8-6 this year without him. And I don't have to know, though, who they played, when they played them, what the other team's situation was when they played them. But they're not helpless any more than they were helpless when they didn't have Chris Paul. But they're diminished. How can that? That's an easy answer. Of course they're diminished without Devin Booker. Can they still win the game in this series? Yes. There's a limitation to what they can achieve without him, however.
Kevin Blackstone, news of the day. Devin Booker unlikely to play games 3 and 4. What does this do to the Suns? And maybe this matchup or the rest of the conference, at least.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden it makes it really interesting because, like Bob said, I mean, obviously this guy, I call him a superstar. I don't think he's borderline superstar. He is a superstar in this league. He's probably my favorite player to watch right now. I mean, there's no fiddle and diddle to his game. He's right in your face. He's scoring points 31 in 25 minutes. I mean, he was en route to a 62-point game, right? So this obviously changes things. But, like Bob, I do believe the Suns, best record still have plenty in the tank. To take care of the Pels, but it's just going to be a little bit more interesting.
Israel Gutierrez.
Well, no, what's interesting is, okay, so now we're projecting about playing without him. They lost in a game where they got 31 points in 25 minutes from him. So if this would have been a game where he wasn't injured, just call it foul trouble. You got a Devin Booker game. You got 31 points and you still lost. So this is something that's to be concerning for the Suns. Yes, you've got that front court of Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, and Jonas Valanciunas. That's a lot of arms, okay? And Brandon Ingram, you know, before every game, Larry Nance Jr. tells him he's the best player on the floor. And almost every game, that might just be true. He has an unstoppable, unreachable jumper sometimes, and sometimes when he's on, you just gotta hope that he misses. And so, yes, without Devin Booker now to start a game 3 and 4, absolutely it should be concerning for the Suns here.
Woody Page, you equally concerned that Phoenix is in trouble right now if Booker can't go for a few games?
They're not in trouble, I think, of winning this series, but they're in trouble in the playoffs. This is a team that's got to go up against much better teams once they get past the Pelicans, and I'm sure they will at some point. I think he'll be back. If you remember correctly, last year he kept it a secret when he had a hamstring. It was the other hamstring that he was bothered by earlier this year and last year. So I think that was the greatest upset by the Pelicans since they beat the Mavs in 2008, Bob Ryan. And guess who the guard was at that time? A guy named Chris Paul. What happened to him? Where did he end up? Yeah, so Chris Paul is going to take over much more of the brunt of the offense, and he didn't really do it until the fourth quarter last night. We saw Booker about to go for 50 points before he had to go out of the game because of the problem. So, yes, it is going to affect them, and I think Pelicans got enough confidence out of that game that when they do go home, they're going to at least grab one of those games. It's not going to be a four-game set now. It's going to last five or six games at least.
Just to play the other side of this, the NBA playoffs do take a few months. So Booker being unlikely for maybe two games here, there is time for him to get back. I'm surprised, Israel, you saw as much concern in this, especially in this matchup. You don't like the way they match up in the world?
Look at the stat sheet. Look at Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum. Those are two near huge triple-doubles. Those are superstar types of numbers. And if they can keep going like that at home, that's going to give any team problem. And you're talking about a Suns team without their best scorer. So, yeah, I can see it being...
I'm talking about a Suns team that everyone on this panel told me they were the Western Conference favorites. And some took the Suns over the field just 2 weeks ago. They've won games this season without Paul. They've won games this season without Devin Booker. Bob, the point I was making about big upsets, I mean, this is a 28-win differential in the regular season. That's a matchup you don't often see in the first round because you don't have a 34-win team making the playoffs. That was my point, that this is as big as it gets, you know, 28-win differential. Yeah, you don't see – yeah, you know, maybe you're right here. But I'd like to gin it up a little bit while I'm talking. We'll move on. Jimmy Butler, 45 last night for the Heat. Let's talk about that. Miami 2-0 on the Hawks. What is Kyle Lowry doing here? Honestly.
Running down the court. What do you mean?
For the game, fouls were 26-24, essentially even. But Trae Young afterwards, if the refs are going to let them be as physical as they are and not call fouls, I mean, it's going to be hard really to do anything. Young had 10 turnovers in this game. Israel, is it the physical play or is it Young turning it over and struggling as much as he has through these two games against Miami's defense?
Well, those play hand in hand there. And yes, as Reggie Miller loves to say in every first round game, welcome to the playoffs. This is a lot more physical. It's going to be that way, especially when you're talking about a team that's headlined by Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo. Now, the response can't be, hey, I'm going to trip you, Kyle Lowry, so that everybody can see. And you don't look like you're responding very well. The response has to be put your head down and try to get to the free throw line somehow, some way. But complaining about it doesn't really help you. This was a superstar game from Jimmy Butler. There was nothing that looked smooth about that Heat offense until the ball went through the basket for Jimmy, and that's the type of player he is. Sometimes he can do this, sometimes he doesn't have to give you that type of shooting performance and can still have that type of impact, but yesterday he had it all going, so the tough defense and with him putting over the top didn't seem like
a hard. But you take umbrage with Trae Young even saying this. So what's worse, Trae Young saying this or Kyle Lowry running down the court, as you say, just simply minding his own business the way he did?
Well, Trae has a lot. He has a lot to complain about. That's fair. But again, it's the playoffs. These things happen. He's got to have other people sort of give him some relief. Bogdanovich tried it yesterday, but he doesn't really have much else help after that.
Did not answer the question there, Mr. Gutierrez. Kevin Blackstone on this series.
Well, you know, I think the big thing is the defense that the Heat are putting on the Hawks, especially early on. I mean, they've had to play catch-up in the first few minutes of each game, and then getting in foul trouble before the half, and DeAndre Hunter getting in foul trouble in the third quarter, so they got to clean that up. But they got home cooking coming, right? I mean, at home, Trae Young is going to be even more explosive. Hadn't been real explosive in this series so far, but at home, you know, here's a guy who averages 30 at home, shoots 91% from the free throw line, 48% from the field, 41% from the three-point line. So he's going to be feeling a lot more comfortable, I think, putting a lot more pressure on the Heat defense.
Bob Ryan, when you watch this series, you see it as Miami being overly physical and getting away with it? Or you just see it as Miami being defensively that much better and shutting down Trae Young?
Thus far, I would lean toward the latter. I'm not going to go overboard on the physicality thing. It's not the only reason that Trae Young went 1-for-12 in that first game. I just think that the Heat are in an enviable position. Why? Because though they are they're the top seed in the conference, most people's focus is on Milwaukee, on Boston, on Philadelphia. They're not getting their due.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They love this. They love this. And this is a deep team. This is a team. They have a guy in the team, for example, who had eight threes the other day. And oh, by the way, last night played 7 minutes. because they can afford to do stuff like this. And not many teams can have any individuals that like that. And this is who they are, and their, the attention must always be paid to the Miami Heat.
And Woody Page.
Well, I'm not ready to declare it over because of what happened in the game. As Kevin pointed out, the Hawks at home are 20-3 over the last 3 months. Mm. And ice cold Trey is going to turn hot, I think, in Atlanta because he's overplaying. I think he's not staying within himself. He's 1 of 15 in the series when he's contested on three-pointers. The man has to go more to the basket. He has to rely more on getting the ball off to the guys that are wide open when he is being double-teamed, and he's not doing that. I think he's trying to overplay in the first two games of the series, but I think that Atlanta's going to come back. We saw them a year ago in the playoffs. We know what they're about, what they can do, and we know what Young can do, and I know that everybody talks about the culture of Miami. The culture is tomorrow's starting pitcher. That's what culture is. It's not about...
Oh, Israel wants back in to address that. Okay. Go ahead, Israel.
To Bob's point about Duncan Robinson not playing, that's because a guy named Caleb Martin, who was an absolute irritant and locked Trae Young down during the regular season, got some minutes today. Trae Young, it doesn't matter who you put in front of him, P.J. Tucker, Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry, Caleb Martin, they're all going to, Gabe Vincent, they're all going to make life miserable for him, so yeah. He's going to have to find a way to
that's
fight
what it's looked like for
that.
Two games.
I don't think any team in the league
see
can
what
do
it's
that
like going back
Miami Heat.
To Atlanta. Taking a break right here. Buy or sell in 2 minutes. You know, Israel, what do you take a shot at Heat culture? Do you have a response?
No.
No, that's kind of the trend these days. Everybody's just jumping on the bandwagon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
News of the day in the NFL, and it's huge, potentially large. The sticky situation between Deebo Samuel and the San Francisco 49ers escalating quickly. And today, Samuel asking for a trade. There was nobody on the Niners offense last year who was more valuable and did more work than Deebo Samuel. And this is yet another odd maneuvering in wide receivers this offseason. Woody Page, Around the Horn to you. What are the Niners facing here? What is Deebo Samuel thinking here?
They're confronting a situation where they're, as you said, their most valuable player as a runner, a rusher, and a return man last year. You have to put together his regular season and the playoffs. He had over 2,000 yards as a rusher and a receiver. I think it's a situation of he doesn't want to be a diva, but he wants to be a receiver full-time, not do all else. And if you're going to keep him as both, you better pay him a combined salary of those two types of positions.
So if you're his agent, you go in there, you say, I want to be paid as the highest paid wide receiver on the team and the highest paid running back on the team. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
Yeah, the last 4 years, he's had the most yards after contact than any other player in the league. And so you take that and think, wow, like if you're going to use me as a running back and a wide receiver, I might not last as long. I've got to get my money now. He's in the last year of his rookie deal. And if you say to him, yeah, I just want to be used as a wide receiver, it's going to take some value away. But look around the league. Like, it's a passing league for a reason. It's not just the quarterbacks. The talented wide receivers have to get their money, too. So you might as well start now.
Reports are, you know, San Francisco is ready to offer him money, but that's something with Samuel and Kevin Blackiston, I'll bring you in here, is viewing the team in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Debo and he's looking at the league and he knows how things work. He had a 1,400-yard receiving season last year, fifth best in the league. He can be a receiver and just a receiver in this league, and if he is, he's going to have probably a slightly longer career path. And if he's running the ball out of the backfield, yards after contact, that contact as a running back is a lot different than contact as a wide receiver. So this is about longevity, I think, for Debo.
And Bob Ryan.
Well, I look at it this way, that there's a lot of great receivers. We can argue who's the best, but there's only one, Debo Samuel. And he is unique, a unique commodity. And it can't be replaced. They ought to pay him what he's worth in this guy. Elementary, he should be proud of this, I would think. And they should, that's number one. Number two, they should have reward him appropriately. There's nobody like him. I mean, this is very simple right to me. Pay them.
How long would be the line to try to bring in Debo Samuel this offseason after we've seen so many receivers move to Kansas City, just lost Tyreek Hill, traded him away? Maybe bring in Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
Buy or sell two, a story I've been looking forward to talking to on this show all day, because I know, Bob Ryan, you've been watching Winning Time on HBO. Woody, you have Blackiston?
Yeah.
Israel? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, yes, writing an opinion piece that called the show a thin characterization and exploitation and boring. But it's Jerry West. I mean, this is front page news in Variety magazine. West demanding a retraction and an apology over his portrayal in the show. Said it made him look like a rageaholic and it's an assault on his character. Bob, you cover the league during this time. You know Jerry West better than anybody here. You've watched the show and you know it's a dramatization. Is Jerry West owed an apology?
Well, yes, it's a dramatization, but too many people don't understand what that means, and a lot of too many people think this is actual fact when it is utter and complete fiction. As far as Jerry West is concerned, after watching the first episode, I said, what did Jerry West ever do to Adam McKay to have himself portrayed in such an incredibly ludicrous, embarrassing, humiliating light? And I said that he should have three words for Adam McKay. I've said this on many public occasions. Those three words are, see my lawyer, which is exactly what Jerry West has finally come around to seeing. Anybody watching this thing should not be under the slightest delusion that it's based remotely on any kind of fact. It is a repugnant, disgraceful waste of time, and I hope Jerry West prevails in this. Mm-hmm.
Do you believe? So you believe he's owed an apology? Again, though, the disconnect here is it's a TV show, and people know it's a TV show, and it's a dramatization, and people do know that, right, Bob?
No, they don't know that. That's the entire problem. Too many people don't know that.
Kevin Blackiston.
Yeah, Bob's absolutely right about that. I mean, people who did not see them, did not see those Lakers, did not read about those Lakers, they believe that these are those Lakers. And maybe that's not true, but you're absolutely right, Tony. I mean, the dramatization part is the hard thing. You know, there was a show on this network, The Playmakers, which dramatized the NFL culture. NFL apparently didn't like it too much. All of a sudden, that went into the ether. So I understand the frustration of one Jerry West.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly took some liberties with Jerry West's character. That's not the Jerry West that I had known or heard of. But, you know, I watch another show on Hulu called The Great, and it starts off by saying an occasionally true story. And that's kind of the way I go into this one as well. It's entertainment. You're sort of taking a character and sort of extrapolating some things that, you know, you thought might be there for him while he was this, you know, at this point in his career. But, you know, obviously if somebody's upset, hey, I would argue Larry Bird deserves an apology for that casting, frankly, because, whew.
Don't get Bob Ryan started on that. Bob, have you got to the point where Larry Bird's in the show yet?
No, but I've been warned.
Woody Page, this book, this show is based on a book by Jeff Perlman, and I believe you know that book, Woody Page. You've read that book before.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know Jeff, and I know the book. And the book is not what they're portraying on the screen. He knows that. It's been fictionalized. Why don't they just proclaim that at the beginning? By the way, Kevin, for you to bring up Playmakers, the show that I was in, several years ago. That's not right. I was characterized.
You lasted longer than the show, Woody. I think that's a good thing. Yeah.
I was a clown, if you remember correctly. Yeah. But I think that Jerry West is old. He's the logo. Really, that's the way you treat the logo of the NBA, a guy who was a genuine superstar? Jerry Buss's family should be upset. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar should be upset. It's a cartoon characterization of the Lakers.
But it's
of
not
that
a
period.
Documentary, I guess, is what I think.
Well, explain that.
So, Bob, you haven't seen the upcoming seasons with Larry Bird, but you're ready. You've been warned, and this is another see my lawyer situation. You think? I thought the characters looked like, I mean, Kareem looks like Kareem, you know? I think they did great with Magic.
Don't care.
Done great with Larry Bird.
Doesn't matter.
Israel doesn't agree.
Oh, yeah, Pat Riley looks really good.
You guys know these guys on a personal level. Not everybody is like you guys. Blackstone, Bob Ryan, showdown. 2 minutes. Game down.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The $50,000 fine for Kyrie Irving worked out to about $650 per middle finger. So tonight, how Kyrie and the Boston fans play out is one storyline. Also, let's not forget how thrilling the ending was in Game 1 and what both teams have in store for Game 2. Bob Ryan, what will be the deciding factor? Celtics-Nets Game 2 tonight.
On the assumption that the Celtics will continue to score against the Nets defense, on the assumption that Kyrie Irving will play well, but not 39 points well, and on the assumption that Kevin Durant will be vengeful and out for blood after going 9 for 24, I think the difference will be, can the Celtics hold him down enough? Over, under for him is 30. He gets more than 30, the Nets win. He gets under 30, the Celtics win.
KB?
Well, I will say you're onto something there. It's all about the Celtics defense, and I think it'll continue to stand up. I mean, that's been their calling card all season long. We know that that's been a spot that people doubted with the Nets, and they showed that on that very last possession. Double team Kyrie, forced him to make a really bad pass, and they couldn't win the game.
You know, I kind of like that you combine a little PTI with around the horn going over under there, Bob Ryan. We'll see how it plays out for Durant tonight. You'll get the point. For the moment. Dirty as bleep. That's what Tommy Pham called this play last night. Luke Voit into Tyler Stevenson at the plate. You know baseball's tried to legislate out the home plate collision, the physicality of it, by not allowing runners to deviate from their path, catchers needing the ball to block the plate. Stevenson left the game with a concussion. You're looking at it right here. And one more thing I want to add. Tommy Pham says if Luke wants to settle it, Pham gets down really well. He'll do anything. Muay Thai. Anything. Kevin, was this dirty?
You know, when I heard about this, I was thinking there was spikes up. I was thinking he was bowling over the catcher. I see none of that. He actually tries to go to the inside to avoid the catcher. That's not dirty. It's clumsy. It's not dirty.
Bob Ryan?
I agree. I don't think it was dirty at all. It was unusual, that's for sure. I haven't seen a play like that unfold just like that at the plate. Nothing. But I think that arm was up just incidentally, and I just don't think
so. The arm went up. You do admit the arm went up, but you think it was more
incidental. The arm went up, but it wasn't with malice.
Yeah. Well, my arm's going up in praise of Bob Ryan today. 30 seconds.
In game one of a 1986 playoff series, Michael Jordan scored 49 against the Celtics. Kind of piggy and hogging the ball, by the way. On Sunday, the 20th of April, 1986, he got 63 against the Celtics, totally out of the flow. It was a magnificent performance. It was his coming out party. I know it's the second year, his coming out party. And after the game, what did Larry Bird say about Michael Jordan? That was God disguised as Michael Jordan. It was from that point on that he became Michael Jordan.
And a loss.
Wow.